Happy Purim, everybody. This is Rabbi Dave Felsenthal. I'm glad to be here and able to share with you some thoughts for Adar and Purim. When we talk about the Purim season, a lot of things come to mind. We talk about remembering Amalek and what Amalek did to us. We talk about Nasev and Nishma, what the Jewish people said in the desert when we were offered the Torah, that we will do and then we will listen. And Mishaniknas Adar Marim Besimcha, when the month of Adar enters, we increase our joy, or increase our happiness. So what do these things have to do with each other? Glad you asked. I'm going to start with the end in mind, in the spirit of Purim, a little backwards. We're going to start with a story about Rav Zusha. It's a famous story, one of my favorites, about this person who went to the Rebbe. And he asked him, you know, I don't understand how I could be happy with what I have in my life. How can I be happy with my lot? Be sameach b'chelko. And he said, you know, I don't want to answer your question. I want you to go ask Rav Zusha. Go down to the poorest part of town by the docks and ask for Rav Zusha. And when you find him, tell him that I asked you to ask him this question. So he went down to the poorest part of town, to the docks, started asking around, does anybody know Rav Zusha? And they pointed him to the poorest part of the poorest part, down this dead-end street into a little shack of a house. He knocks on the door, and a man opens the door. The house is a mess. He's disheveled. He's got a hump on his back. And he says, I'm looking for Rav Zusha. He says, oh, I'm Rav Zusha. Come in, come in. Glad to have a guest. Why are you coming to me? And he said, the Rebbe sent me. Oh, the Rebbe, that's so nice. I'm so glad he sent you to me, a guest. I love to have guests. What can I do for you? He said, I should ask you this question. I had asked him how to be happy with what you have, how to be sameach b'chelko with your portion. And he said he couldn't really answer me, but I should ask you. And Rav Zusha said, ask me? I don't know why he would ask you to ask me. I have such blessing in my life. I have so much of everything I could ever want. I don't know even why he would ever think I could answer such a question. The obvious point is that it's all in your attitude. And that when you look at what's around you and you realize the blessings that you have, then it's easy to be sameach with them. But a lot of times we get caught up in all sorts of external factors that hide the simcha that we really should have in our hearts. So I'm going to start off by talking about Amalek and Bilam and Balak. That if you take Bilam, who was the non-Jewish prophet who wanted to curse the Jewish people, and Balak, and Bilam, by the way, was one of the three advisors of Paro, who advised Paro and how to hurt the Jewish people in Mitzrayim as slaves in Egypt. So the other two were Job, Eov, and Yisro. So prestigious company he had there, but he was the one who gave Paro the advice on making a slave. So Balak, who was a new king, came to Bilam and said, I want to make my name. I'm a new king. I have the power, but I want to establish myself. And I need a plan from you, and I want to do it based on hurting the Jewish people. I want to create my power by showing how I can hurt the Jewish people, because they're the strongest people in the world right now. They just left Egypt and split the Red Sea. God split the Red Sea for them, and that's how I'm going to make my name. So Balak had the power, and Bilam came with the plan, and that made Amalek. How? Because if you take the last letters of Bilam's name, Am, and the first name of Balak's name, Malek, you have Amalek. So Bilam and Balak together make Amalek. Now, is it really Amalek? No. What it is the historical Amalek, the concept throughout history of people who were trying to make a name for themselves, usually kings or great leaders or supposedly great leaders, trying to make a name for themselves on the backs of the Jewish people. Time of Purim, who do we have? Ahasuerus is the new king with the power, and Haman is the man with the plan. And together, they create another Amalek situation in Purim. Or later on, you have it with Hitler. You know, and all throughout history, you can see this common recurring historical incident where a new king or a new leader tries to make their name on the backs of the Jewish people. So why are they trying to do this to us? Why are they trying to make their names on us? It's because of what we have. We have the Torah. Everyone was offered the Torah. Everybody turned it down. The Jewish people said, Nasev and Nishma. We will do and we will listen. What's going on here? Have you ever known anybody any friend of yours or anybody ever asked you a question? They asked you something and you didn't ask them a question back. You just accepted something blindly? Of course not. That's not what we do. So what was going on with the Nasev and Nishma? What was going on is Nasev and Nishama. That when you do a mitzvah, You should put a your neshama into it, your soul into it. And when you put your soul into your mitzvahs, that's when you really can reach the levels that we were created to as Jewish people. So that when we do any mitzvah, we want to put our full neshama into it. We want to put our full soul into it. We want to really get that mitzvah down. So when we drink, we want to do it with neshama. When we pray, we want to do it with neshama. When we do good deeds, we want to do it with neshama. Just started a whole internet campaign for the month of Adar. If you look at the NCSY alumni website, right, or go to my Facebook group or whatever, you'll see, just do one good deed. It's a campaign for everybody to do lots of good deeds and do them with neshama. If you haven't seen it, just send me an email at rabbidave@ou.org and I'll shoot you the information for this good deed contest where you can enter and you can win a cool prize for doing a good deed, a great prize for a good deed. But nasav in neshama, put in neshama into it. So what is the mitzvah that we want to look at in Purim? Well, the mitzvah I want to look at is Misha Niknas Adar Marbin Besimcha. When Adar enters, the Jewish month of Adar, we should make great our happiness. And what does that mean to be happy? And how do you make it greater? So Rav Noach Weinberg Zal, my Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva of Eshet Torah, had a great tool to teach you how to be happy. And in this economy, being Sameach B'Chelko is more important than ever. This is, if we were going to take any mitzvah right now, that's being learning how to be happy with the blessings you have in your life. And so how does Rav Noach teach us to do this? Well, before I tell you, all right, I got to get an agreement from you, and I don't obviously know you're agreeing to this, but in principle, I'll take you on the honor system. What I want you to do is to agree that if I give you this tool, and if you try it, and it really makes your life happier, then I want you to agree to tell two other people about this tool and make the same deal with them. That's Rav Noach's deal. This happiness tool is for you to share with two other people, and they should share it with two other people, and that way we can affect happiness all around us in a major way. And this is just the first level of the tool. If you like the tool and you want more, again, just send me an email, rabbidave@ou.org, and I'll be glad to share with you the second part of this tool. So how do we increase our happiness? So I'm going to first tell you a couple of stories just to set the table. The first story is two true stories of two paraplegics, two people who had gunshot instances where they lost the movement in all four of their limbs. The first person was a very successful businessman. He had opened up a chain of convenience stores, and he was working round the clock in his stores, making a ton of money. But he wasn't seeing his friends anymore, and his friends were really starting to resent his success because they never got to see him, just hear about how well he was doing, if they went out of their way to visit him in one of his stores. Well, one night he's in his store, and the store was held up. Now, God forbid any of us ever get held up, but if you do, you want a happy hold-up man. You don't want to be a not-happy hold-up man, because this man, he said, here, take my money, take everything, please don't shoot me, you can have anything you want. But the man was nervous, and his finger was nervous, and he pulled the trigger and shot him. And he ended up in the hospital, and he ended up as a quadriplegic. And his friends came to visit him, and he kept saying, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? And one of his friends said, well, you know, maybe it's a message. You know, you used to have a lot of time for your friends and your family, and you used to do a lot in your life, and all you've been focusing on is money and business, and maybe this is a wake-up call to, you know, to think about what's more important in life. And he said, how dare you say that to me? Here I am, a quadriplegic, and you're telling me why it happened? Now, yes, he was asking why it happened, but he didn't really want an answer. He wasn't ready for an answer. And a lot of times when you're visiting somebody, and being bichur cholim, helping visit someone who's sick, let them talk. That's what it's all about. They don't really want to hear from you usually. However, it's not always the case. There's a second true story of a man who was in Northwestern University in Chicago back in the 60s. And he was walking around on campus, and it just happened to be that he was the wrong color, and somebody came around and shot him just for that. And he ended up in the hospital, and he was a quadriplegic. And he started thinking, why am I a quadriplegic? Why did this happen to me? And he started coming up with his own answers. Well, what's life about? Is life over? Is there anything left to live for? What can I do with my life? And he realized, well, I can think, and I can appreciate, and I can share my thoughts with others. And, you know, I never even would have thought about what life's about and what I could do and how I could help others if this hadn't happened to me. You know, I could do all sorts of great things to make this world such a much better place, and I never would have thought it before. In a way, you know, tongue-in-cheek, so to speak, but in a way, I'm glad that this happened to me. And that's what he wrote in his book, which became a bestseller. So two different ways to deal with situations. Another true story. There was a man who was about to jump off of a very tall building, and he wanted to end his life. And somebody saw him about to jump off the building. And they said to him, "Why are you jumping off the building?" He said, "I just lost my fortune." And he said, "Well, do you have anything left?" "Yeah, I mean, I've got my house, my car, you know, a million or two, but I've lost most of it." He said, "That's a lot of money still." He said, "Yeah, you don't know what it's like to lose what I lost." And he said, "Well, do me one favor. Before you jump, I want you to do me one favor, okay?" "Fine." "Close your eyes." "Okay. You guys should try this too. Close your eyes. Think about all the beautiful things that you can see with your eyes. Now, just start seeing with your eyes closed all those beautiful things that you love to see with your eyes, the beautiful things in nature, beautiful works of art, beautiful foods, beautiful people, all the beautiful things that you would love to see with your eyes, but you can't because you're blind. Think of all those beautiful things, but you can't see them. Your eyes are closed. You're blind. You can't see them anymore. You're never going to be able to see them again. Now open your eyes. You can see. You can see them again. How does that make you feel?" He said, "Well, it does make me appreciate all those beautiful things that I love to see, and I wouldn't want to not be able to see them anymore. Thank you." Now, this didn't turn the guy's life around right away, but did make him think about what he was about to do. I'm trying to make a point with you, and the point is that we have a lot of blessings in our lives, but quite often the issues and the problems that we face overwhelm us and create an attitude where we don't see those blessings. And the attitude is everything. If you can have an attitude of happiness, that will totally change your life. My grandma Frances, I used to visit her all the time when she was in the Bronx, and she's no longer with us, but I used to love to visit her. And when I would come visit her, I would go to her, and she would have a list of problems for me and things for me to fix, and she would tell me how this hurts and this is broken and all that. And I loved going, and then she would give me some stuffed cabbage, and I love the stuffed cabbage too. Well, one time I had heard about this tool that I'm going to share with you soon, and I went to her and I said, "Grandma, I'm here to hear about all your complaints and to fix everything that's broken. But before I do that, I want you to do me a favor. Share with me 5 pleasures that you've had today." And she's like, "What do you mean?" "Well, did you get the paper this morning?" "Yeah, my neighbor dropped off the paper. I didn't have to go out and get it." "Wasn't that nice?" "Yeah, it's very nice. I really like that." "And I'm sure you did that crossword puzzle. Took you a while, right?" "What do you mean, took me a while? I got that crossword puzzle done in an hour." She was bright as a whip. "So how'd that make you feel?" "Pretty good. Could anybody have done that crossword puzzle in an hour?" "No way. I'm pretty good at these." "Okay. Did you have a cup of coffee this morning?" "Yeah, how'd that make you feel?" "Oh, I love having my morning cup of coffee." "How'd you feel when I opened the door?" "Taking a risk there." "I love seeing you. You know that." She shared with me 5 pleasures. Okay? After she shared with me those 5 pleasures, she still had her complaints and aches and things to fix, but they were a lot different than every other time I had visited. So the tool is the following. You want to pick a partner. You want to make a deal with that partner. And that partner could be a friend, a spouse, a significant other. At the end of the day, you're going to share with them 5 pleasures that happened to you during the course of that day. And you're going to end each day by sharing the 5 top pleasures that you experienced during the course of your day. So when you first start doing this, you're going to start gathering pleasures. And you're going to say, "Okay, today I got a ride into work from my brother-in-law. So that was cool. I didn't have to go on the bus. That was pleasurable. And I got a call from an old friend I hadn't talked to in a long time. So that was really pleasurable. And somebody referred me some business. So that was really pleasurable. And I was able to do a favor for my boss, Rabbi Berg. That's always a great pleasure." So I had some pleasures so far today. Now, when you start gathering these pleasures and start keeping them to your mind and comparing them to the other pleasures, you're going to see which pleasure is greater or which one's less, because you only can share 5 at the end of the day. And so you're going to carry around in your head the top 5 pleasures that you've had so far. And at the end of the day, you'll share those top five pleasures. So all day long, you're constantly comparing a pleasure you just had to the five pleasures that you're keeping in your mind so far, so that you're keeping your top five list running. What does that do to you? It changes your whole focus, your whole mindset for the day. All day long, you are walking around thinking about the pleasures. So when something bad happens, okay, it bothers you, but you're right back to thinking about the pleasures. And it changes the way you look at life, and it changes the way that you look at what happens to you during the course of the day, and it changes your attitude for the day. Now, that's just one day. But if you do it every day for 30 days, it'll become a habit. And when it becomes a habit, it'll become a part of you, and you will see that you'll be a happier person. So yes, it'll have immediate effects, but it'll have its real effects when it becomes a part of you, so that it happens naturally, that you're always carrying around these five pleasures to share at the end of the day. So anything worthwhile takes practice. This is going to take some practice. You're not going to get this overnight. You're going to mess up a couple of times, but commit to doing this for the month of Adar. Do it for this Hebrew month. Every day, with your partner, share those five pleasures, and you will find that you will have had one of the happiest Adars that you've ever had. Even with all the problems that we're facing in our lives, we've all got great blessings in our lives. And it's time to learn to count those blessings, and to do it by using this tool. I hope you like this nugget for Adar. I enjoyed sharing it with you. And again, if you liked it and you want to hear more, just send me an email at rabbidave@ou.org. And if you want to take part in our Good Deeds contest, just go to our NCSY alumni website, ncsyalum.org. If it's not updated yet, again, send me that email and I'll send you the link so you can take part in our Good Deeds contest with a great prize. Have a wonderful Adar, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the future.